I am a huge football fan, and I am also a religious Zionist. I don't know if I would normally put them in that order, but being that this week, or this past week, was Super Bowl Sunday, perhaps football takes precedence. And there are times when my loyalties to football, and of course my loyalties to religious Zionism, conflict. I say that, of course, with tongue-in-cheek. But one day a year, I find myself, in my innards, saying to myself, how I wish I could be in the United States for that one particular day. And that day, I always find, is the same day. Super Bowl Sunday. There is nothing like Super Bowl Sunday in the United States. One soaks up the atmosphere of what's going on. Preparation, buying the munchies and the beer. Everyone is in good tidings. Everyone is cheery. Lahavdil, it's almost an atmosphere of yontif. As a matter of fact, I heard many announcers, sports announcers, often greet each other on Super Bowl Sunday with Happy Super Bowl Sunday, which Lahavdil will be the equivalent to us of good yontif. In Israel, one of the disadvantages of living in Eretz Yisrael, perhaps the only one, is that one cannot watch the Super Bowl live. Some people do watch Super Bowl live, but that means that you have to pick it up at 1:30 in the morning, and it finishes approximately 5 in the morning. Now obviously, if you're a real diehard fan and willing to sacrifice that time, that means that the next day, if you have to go to work, you're going to walk around like a zombie for quite some time, perhaps even throw off all of your hours of sleep for that particular week, in sacrifice with the ability to watch the Super Bowl live. I never do so, but what I do, because I am an avid football fan, I always have a friend of mine tape the game, and in the morning, immediately after Minyan, I put on the game, spend a few hours, and I watch the game in my own atmosphere, so to speak, in my own home. But especially this year, I couldn't justify myself watching the Super Bowl live. Why should I waste my time? Here are the New England Patriots, brilliant team, perhaps the greatest team in sports history, certainly what would be considered the greatest team in NFL history, and they were playing the New York Giants. Giants, although I am a New York fan, I love the Jets, I like the Giants, but nonetheless I follow them and I hope that they succeed. But having said that, the Giants were, in the end of the day, 14-4. Not a great team, a good, decent, average team. But here they went through the wild card, the playoffs, and I said it has to come to an end at the Super Bowl. The Patriots were undoubtedly going to crush the Giants, destroy them, and therefore it certainly didn't warrant staying up till all hours in the morning to watch the game live. So I had the thing taped. And I was willing to watch the game, or I wanted to watch the game the next morning. But of course I knew that if I would look at my emails or my internet, that I might very well know who won, and then there would be no point in watching the game. On the other hand, I said to myself, let's prepare for the worst. I know the Giants are going to be destroyed, so is there really a difference in seeing what the score is in the end? It probably was 38-7 or 28-14, whatever it was, but the Patriots undoubtedly would win. But showing the Giants good grace, I decided that I would not check the internet, I would not look at my emails, and I would watch the game prior to checking what was going on that particular day on Monday morning. My dear friends, what a Super Bowl it was. The Giants defied history. The Giants were probably the greatest underdog in Super Bowl history, and they dethroned the undefeated New England Patriots. The Patriots, who would have made history with an 18-0 season, were destroyed. They were defeated by the Giants. The Giants being the only NFC wild card team ever to win the Super Bowl. And not only did they win, but what a game. What a way they won. Losing 14-10 in the final minutes of the fourth quarter at the end of the game. Minute and a half left, Eli Manning marches his team down the field, throws an unbelievable pass which is caught in which it was caught by David Tyree, defying all acrobatics in the air. He caught it against his head, and the Giants went on and scored a touchdown, and they truly did make history as such. I was so excited and so anxious, and having witnessed probably the greatest Super Bowl in history, I picked up my phone. Obviously, I couldn't call any friends in the United States, aside from the fact that I really don't have any. And so I called up my friend in his office in Eretz Yisrael, knowing that he watched the game live. I picked up the phone. I said to him, "Hey, listen, did you see the game? It was unbelievable. What a Super Bowl. Unbelievable." And the first thing he said to me was, "Yes, it truly was a great game. Did you hear about the pigua, the terrorist attack in Dimona?" And all of a sudden, all of my excitement, all of my jubilance was deflated. I found myself lost with words. And the truth is that I had not heard about the terrorist attack in Dimona, which killed one woman, which critically injured in a very serious way another person, and which injured 40 people and put them in the hospital. But I was so wrapped up with the crucial news of the day that I had not heard about what was going on in our own country and what was going on with the threats and terrorism in the heart of Eretz Yisrael. And it was then that I realized that being a Jew, living in Eretz Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu always wants us to see and to find a way in which we cannot escape, at least for very long, from facing and confronting reality. The challenges of being the chosen people and of living in the promised land never relent. The servitude towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the search for greater ruchniyut, for greater spirituality, demands constant vigilance, and very often it demands a sacrifice. The shrine, so to speak, of the Jewish people is not the Super Bowl dome in Phoenix, Arizona. The shrine of the Jewish people is the temple, the Beit HaMikdash, the Beit HaKnesset, the Yerushalayim that exists or is supposed to be alive and burning in every single one of us. The Parsha of Truma introduces us to this concept. V'asuli mikdash v'shachanti b'tocham. The Torah tells us that we are meant to construct this mikdash, this temple, v'shachanti b'tocham, and I will dwell in them. All of the commentaries comment on the fact that grammatically speaking, this is incorrect. What it should have said is, V'asuli mikdash, you make me a singular temple for HaKadosh Baruch Hu kivyachol, V'shachanti b'tocho, and we would dwell in it. And Chazal comment, why b'tocham, why the plural usage? B'chol makom shehem, everywhere that the Jewish people decide to construct a temple for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for the sake of invigorating, for the sake of infusing spirituality and loyalties towards spiritual cause, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will dwell. Therefore we call a Beit Knesset a Mikdash Mu'at, a temple which belongs to all of us. The Gemara in Brachot on Daf Samach Bet Amid Bet talks about an interesting halacha. The Gemara says that one is not allowed, or the Mishnah actually says it, one is not allowed to use the Beit HaMikdash as a kapandria. A kapandria means a shortcut. In other words, if I have to get to point A, to point B rather, and I use point A, and point A happens to cross through the confines of the Temple Mount, but it's a shorter distance for me, I cannot use the Temple Mount, the Har HaBayit, as a shortcut of arriving or arriving at one point faster than to the other. The Gemara discusses, what about a Beit Knesset? Can you use a shul as a kapandria? The Gemara says three opinions, or expresses three opinions, of how one would be permitted to do so. First opinion is of Rava. Al menat shelo lasoto kapandria, mutar lasoto kapandria. If you go into a shul, having in mind that I do not want to make it a shortcut, but then I do make it a shortcut, that's permissible. In other words, when I walk into the shul, if I have this negative kavana, this anti-intention, whereby I don't want to use it as a shortcut, then you are allowed in the end to use it as a shortcut. Rabbi Abbahu says, if it was a place that was popularly used as a shortcut to begin with, and then a shul was constructed on it, then also you can continue to use the shul as a shortcut. But only if it were established as a shortcut to begin with. In other words, according to Rabbi Abbahu, it would appear that we are concerned with public perception. If everyone understands that it was a shortcut, then we really have nothing to worry about, and you can continue to do so. The final opinion is of Rabbi Chelbo, who says, "Hanichnas lebeit haKnesset lipalel mutar laasoto kapandria." If a person comes into a shul for the sake of davening, of praying, of learning Torah, only then, afterwards, can he use the shul as a shortcut and continue on his journey, knowing full well that he'll arrive at his point of destination faster because he went through the shul itself. The Rambam in Hilchot Tfilah says as follows, Haya lebeit haKnesset o lebeit haMidrash shnei ptachin. If a shul or a beit medrash, a place of learning, had two openings or two exits, two entrances, lo yaasenu kapandria, one should not make the shul or turn the beit midrash into a means of a shortcut. Kedei sheikanes bepetach ze veyatza bepetach shekenegdo lekarei vaderech, so that he goes into one entrance and exits a different one in order to arrive at a shorter distance to his point of destination. Why? Says the Rambam, she'asur likanes bahen ela lidvar mitzvah. The only reason why a person is allowed to come into a shul is specifically for the purpose of fulfilling a mitzvah. And it seems to me two problems. When you look at the halacha, both in the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch, you will notice that they quote all three opinions of the Gemara. And they offer you all three options. If you come into the shul on condition not to make it a shortcut, you can make it a shortcut. If you come into a shul that was used as a place of a shortcut, then you can continue to use it as a means of arriving at your destination. And finally, the opinion of Rabbi Chelbo, which is the only opinion that the Rambam quotes, that if you are going into a shul or beit midrash to use it for a mitzvah, then you can make it as a shortcut. Why is this? Why does the Rambam choose to quote only the opinion of Rabbi Chelbo, as opposed to incorporating also the opinions, as the Shulchan Aruch does, of Rava and of Rabbi Abbahu? The other options are all other alternatives. Secondly, the Rambam's lashon, the Rambam's language that he uses, seems to be superfluous. Why does the Rambam have to say she'asur likanes bahen ela d'dvar mitzvah? The only reason you're allowed to go into a shul or a beit midrash is for the purpose of fulfilling mitzvah. That would seem to be rather obvious. Why else would a person go into a shul or a beit midrash? Interestingly enough, the Rambam in the Perush HaMishnayot says a Masechet Brachot as well. Asur likanes lechatchila lebeit haKnesset leoto hahar nechbad. Here he's talking about the Har HaBayit. A person lechatchila, in first preference, is not allowed to enter the Har HaBayit, the Makom HaMikdash, the Temple Mount, ela le'eze inyan me'inyanei ha'avodah, but only for the purpose, in some concern, in some relation, to committing oneself to the service, the avodah, that has to be done in the Temple Mount itself. Karbanot, sacrificial offerings, tefillah, learning Torah, ruchniyut, spirituality. Again, the Rambam emphasizes that which would seem to be rather obvious. The only reason why a person in the first place would go into the Temple Mount, it would seem to be, would be to offer sacrifices, to daven to Hashem. Why then does the Rambam have to emphasize this point? And I think what the Rambam wants us to understand, and what he is establishing is that the only mindset that a person can have when he goes into a shul is a positive one. In other words, the Rambam does not accept the opinion that if I go into a shul thinking that I don't want to make it a shortcut, then I can make it a shortcut. He doesn't accept that. Why? Because when I go into a shul, I can't think about what I don't want to do. I can't think about a negative intent. When I go into a shul, a Jew has to be infused with positive intention. My concern right now, when I walk into a Beit Knesset, is to cement and construct a positive relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That should be and is the only purpose of a shul, and certainly the only purpose of the Har HaBayit, of the Temple Mount. And therefore the Rambam emphasizes to us, both in terms of the shul and the Beit HaMikdash, she'asur likanes bahen ela lidvar mitzvah. No, that the only reason why you are going into a shul is exclusively for the sake of positive purpose of doing a mitzvah. So says the Rambam in Hilchot Brachot. Because the only reason why we should be entering a Beit Knesset, and ultimately the ultimate reason of a Beit Knesset, and certainly the Har HaBayit, is to create positive rapport with Ruchniyut, greater spiritual progress and relationship with Hashem. The shul is not a place for baseball leagues. It is not a place for the bowling league. It is not even a place that is so important to have a kiddush. And it certainly is not a place where the focal behavior and attention should be or focus around social events. A shul, the Beit Knesset, the main purpose must be for davening, for learning, and for constructing more ruchniyut, spirituality, within the Jewish people. I recall when I served as a rabbi in the United States, it happened to be Super Bowl Sunday, and the shul sponsored an event in the social hall, a Super Bowl party, where everyone was invited to watch the Super Bowl on a large screen. Munchies were provided, hot dogs were provided. It was supposed to be a great brotherhood event. Well, sure enough, I went, it was happened to be during the pre-game show, I went with my son to daven mincha and marav at the shul, of course, and we arrived there, and my son notices that the entire parking lot is packed with cars. There is no room to park, no room to move. And after shul, when we walked out, we realized you go into the social hall and there were tons of people ready in attendance for this Super Bowl party. Many of the people who I haven't seen in weeks come to shul on Shabbat. Many of the people who never attended regular minyan during the weekday. In fact, even for the minyan of Mincha and Maariv, many people chose not to come in to daven with us because they were in fear of missing part of the pre-game show in the social hall. And my son commented to me immediately after tefillah, as we got back in our car to go home. He said to me, "Abba, isn't it wrong that so many people turn out for Super Bowl Sunday in a shul, and yet they do not even turn out to come to Minyan on a regular day, or at least to show up on Shabbat morning to daven to Hashem?" The shul is meant to direct our attention to reality. The shul, we don't greet each other or say to one another, "Happy Super Bowl Sunday." In the Beit Knesset, we say Shabbat Shalom, or we express condolences to those who are mourning, or we share in a simcha together. Why? Because these are expressions that are truly eternal. The shul reminds us that we can sing praise to the New York football giants, but ultimately our job is to say Tehillim for the 40 injured in Dimona in Eretz Yisrael. This truly sheds light in what Chazal expressed with regards to V'asuli Mikdash V'shachanti B'tocham. The Shekhinah, the divine presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, can only dwell within each and every one of us and within each and every one of our institutions if we have proper direction, if we understand what the purpose is supposed to be, both of our great institutions and of our great nation, which revolves around spirituality. The same applies with regards to Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. The Gemara and Megillah tells us, "Batei Knesiot shebebavel al tnai hein asuyin." Shuls that were built or constructed in Chutz La'aretz, in what we would call in the time of the Gemara, the diaspora, can be built al tnai, on condition. In other words, their kedusha is not necessarily kayemet lo meyad. The kedusha of the shul does not necessarily last forever. Says Tosfot, v'dafka le'otan shebebavel behani tnai. This condition, building a shul on condition, only applies to the temples, to the shuls, to the synagogues that are constructed in Chutz La'aretz, in the diaspora. Why? Shaharei le'et ba goel b'meira b'yameinu. For when the geula, the redemption will come, the same redemption that we anticipate and that we pray for on a daily basis, when it will arrive, their kedusha, these institutions' holiness, will leave them. Why? Because all the Jews will inevitably come to Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, says Tosfot, Le'otan shebe'eretz Yisrael lo mehani tnai. The institutions, the shuls, the yeshivot, the batei midrash, that are midrashot that are built in Eretz Yisrael, you cannot build them al tnai, on condition. Why? Sharei kedushatan le'olam kayamet. Because their kedusha, the spirituality that is infused and that exists in Eretz Yisrael and in all of its institutions, is forever, is long-lasting. And this is precisely what the Rambam expresses as well. When I walk into a shul, the statement has to be that I am interested in something that is eternal, that is forever. And therefore, yes, we sacrifice Super Bowl Sunday, because ultimately the championship is taking place here in Eretz Yisrael, where there is a reason, where it is so often so difficult to appreciate, but nonetheless where it reveals itself so strikingly. And the reason why is because Eretz Yisrael, the Beit Knesset, the Shul, the Jewish community and the Jewish world at large is exactly what is eternal and what is permanent. Shenizke kulanu lirot tzion betuv Yerushalayim v'shiyibone beit hamikdash b'mehira b'yameinu amen shabbat shalom. For those who are interested, I will be lecturing in the United States in the month of May around Yom HaAtzmaut, Yom HaZikaron. If you are interested in having me come to lecture and to offer a shiur, a presentation in your shul or in local institutions, please feel free to contact me through my website, www.rabbihammer.com. Shabbat shalom, and thank you very much.